First Samuel chapter 17, a very familiar passage of scripture. If you grew up in church, if you went to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, well, of course I did not. I didn't grow up so in church or Sunday school. And so the first time I ever heard this story, First Samuel chapter 17, I was 25 years old. I was 25 years old the first time I ever heard the story of David and Goliath. Now, I got saved at 23, but that didn't mean I knew the whole Bible. It took me a couple of years to study the Bible and go into church. So a lot of times I'll get up and I'll say, everybody knows this. Well, everybody doesn't know this. Amen. And we need to remember not everybody knows what we know. And we need to be very particular about that. But I want to skip through this chapter. It's really, you got to read the whole chapter, but I need to skip through for the sake of time. So if you can follow me, okay. Let's start with verse 1 in chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Sochak. And I can't say those words. But let's skip down to verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Get the pictures. Two armies lined up to fight. God's people, the devil's people. And there's a valley in between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. That's where he came from. Whose height was 6 cubits and a span. They tell me that's about over 9 feet tall. Over 9 feet tall. Skip down to verse 8 for sake of time. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. And he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. In other words, he said, why are you setting up all these armies to battle? Just send one man to fight me. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now skip, if you will, to verse 20. Verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse, that's his father, had commanded him. And he came to the trench or that valley as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array. They'd set up their armies, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. His brothers were there in the army fight. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And spake according to the same words as David heard him. In other words, he was saying, let's quit all this fighting of armies. Send one man, I'll fight him. He can fight me. The winner takes it all. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Oh, my goodness. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto him, and his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? His brother said, what are you doing down here, boy? You're supposed to be keeping the sheep, and you just come down here to see the war, that's all. You need to go back to the sheep. And then he looked at his big brother and he said, what have I done wrong? Is there not a cause to be here and fight? Look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Yes. Whoa, little David, little teenage boy. He said, y'all don't faint because of this. Don't quit because of this. He said, I'll go whoop this booger. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Talking about himself. David's talking to Saul, and he's given this experience. He said, thy servant, talking about David, talking to the king. He kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lion out of the flock, a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See, I'm getting chill bumps just right now. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He said, God gave me the power to kill that lion, and he gave me the power to kill that bear that was eating my sheep. God did that. He said, he'll do the same thing with this uncircumcised Philistine. Did you notice he never mentioned his height? David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto him, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Well, Saul hadn't went. But he's telling a little teenage boy, go, and God be with you. Amen. Well, I tell you what. Look at verse 40. Well, let's just go ahead and read it. Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. This is David. He took his shepherd's staff, and he took five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. Now, don't think a slingshot like you know, but a sling, just two leather pieces with a strap. He puts a rock in it, and he lets her rip. So he took the string in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. The Philistine, Goliath's shield was so big, it took one man to carry that big old shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. That means he looked down on him. He disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy, little old skinny boy. Ruddy and of fair countenance. He was kind of pretty. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou sendest to me with staves, comest to me with staves or sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He's daring him. Come on, boy. I'll feed you to the buzzards. Don't y'all like the way South Carolina translations are? Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. He said, I'm not just going to kill you, we're going to kill all of you. And I'm going to give the host, all that crowd of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth. He said, we're going to leave your body laying out there and let the buzzards and the beast eat them. And all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Yes. My goodness. Can you see that little boy standing in front of that 9.5-foot man? Oh my goodness. And little boy with a little stick and a little slingshot. Wow. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Oh my goodness. Look at verse 48, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David wasn't backing up, he was running forward. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. See, that's where we get our southern words from. He slang it. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now that's where most people stop, but he wasn't dead. He was knocked down. He was knocked down, but he wasn't dead. Hit him right square between the eyes, knocked him down. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Amen. Therefore David ran. There he is again, running toward the booger. David ran and stood upon the Philistine, got up on his chest, and took the Philistine's sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came into the valley. And go on and read the rest of the story. They killed every one of them. They did exactly what David said was going to happen. And he said, this ain't my battle. This is the Lord's battle. And you can't defy the God of Israel and live very long. Amen. That's good preaching there.
Yes.
That'll preach. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. look, here's a little boy with a little slingshot and a little rock and a little stick that basically led the greatest army on planet Earth to defeat the Philistines. Let's pray. I want to ask, if you will, Tracy, if you'll pray for my sermon. Let's pray. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. David said, is there not a cause? They questioned his intentions. And then he said, but is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? David was awakened by a cause. He saw something greater than himself going on. And he saw God in it. And he saw a reason to get involved. That's a cause. He didn't come to fight. David didn't come to fight. David was a little old teenage boy. He came to deliver cheese and bread. That's what he came for. That's what his daddy sent him for. Go back and read the whole story. He sent him to take his brother's cheese and bread and to check on his brothers so he could go home and tell daddy they're all right. He wasn't supposed to stay. He wasn't supposed to fight. He saw the issue. He got involved. You know why? Because it involved God's name and God's reputation.
That's right.
Yes.
David wasn't fighting for David. David was fighting for God. God's name.
Amen.
We don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. I despise confrontation. I despise it. People think, well, you're one of them old-fashioned preachers. You just like to scream and holler. Yeah, but I don't like to fight. Nobody likes to fight that's in the right mind. He didn't come to fight. But he saw something that awoken him. They talk about this woke movement. Well, they need to get awakened to what's really going on.
Amen.
It's a lot bigger than what they see.
Right.
is awakened by the adversary of God's people. God's people had an adversary. And it was a giant. And that adversary caused fear. Everywhere he went, he caused fear. Even the children of Israel who knew the stories of God, how God had delivered Israel over and over in miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet they were afraid of this one man. They weren't afraid of the whole army. They line up every day to fight, but one man came out. And they'd all back down because of that one man. David was awakened to that. He saw that giant. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants. Whenever God sent out the 12 spies to go into Israel, Joshua and Caleb was the only two of the 12 that came back with good report. The others said, there's giants over there in that land, and they'll eat us for their bread. And Joshua and Caleb said, the Lord will deliver them into our hand, just like David did.
Amen.
We've got giants in our land. We have giants right now that are God's adversaries. They're God's enemies. Thereby, they ought to be our enemy too.
Amen.
So I thought Christians loved everybody. You can love everybody and still hate sin.
That's right.
You can be against what they do.
Yes.
You can stand up against perverts and all this stuff. You can stand up against, you're supposed to. We've got some giants in our land that like to fight. They like to fight. They like to fight us. Apostasy, that means they claim they're believers, but they've gone from the truth. Sexual, violence, politics, COVID, fear. They're all giants that are attacking God. They're attacking God's house, attacking God's people. There's another giant, not just that. He saw the apathy of God's people. They were apathetic.
Right.
You ever seen anybody just sit around and let whatever happened happen? Apathetic. They wouldn't move. It didn't matter that they were about to be made slaves of the Philistines. They wouldn't move. They were apathetic. I see the apathy of God's people. They're letting their churches fall apart.
Right.
They're letting their families fall apart.
Yes.
I'm talking about believers, God's people.
Yes.
They're just letting their people they love, they're letting them go to hell because they don't want to offend them. I'm glad somebody offended me one day and told me I was a dirty, rotten sinner and needed salvation, or I'd be going to hell now.
Amen.
And hey, if you love somebody, you'll risk offending them.
Yes.
That's right.
Apathy of God's people. And David was shocked. He said, why isn't somebody doing something to this uncircumcised Philistine, this heathen?
Yep.
Yes.
Why ain't somebody killed this guy? Somebody needs to knock his block off.
Amen.
And they said, shut up, you don't know what's going on here. Well, I'm afraid they didn't. He did. And then, by the time you get through this and you read the whole story, you'll see how God awards people like that.
Yes.
David got an award while his brothers got nothing but cheese and bread.
Right.
David got the king's daughter. Mm-hmm. David got to live in the king's palace. David got everything the king had. He became a part of it because he stood up when nobody else would.
Amen.
God's people are being attacked. God's children are afraid. God's house is being neglected. God's work is not getting done. People are going to hell. People are going to hell. Is there not a call? Hey, but look at this situation just like he did. Should we not ask the question, is there not a cause? Are people still not going to heaven because of they don't know how? Or, is there not a cause for church when we meet together and it encourages each other and gives us courage and faith and hope and love? Is there not a cause to keep the church open? Is there not a cause to keep giving so that missionaries can keep going? Is there not a cause to keep going in our witness and we keep witnessing?
Right.
But thank God old David, he stood up and he accepted that call. Boy, I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know how. I didn't know how to tell people how to be saved. I didn't, when I first got saved, you don't really know how to explain it. I didn't know how to explain it. It was such a supernatural event that happened in my life. When I'd explain it, it sounded crazy. But you know what? I wanted to tell it.
Yes.
I wanted to tell it. And I told it, and I told it, and I told it. And I kept thinking, somebody's got to tell this story. Somebody's got to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Somebody's got to tell the story that He lived a life we can't live and died in our place and rose from the dead the third day. Somebody's got to tell that story. Is there not a cause? Has that story changed? Is it lessened or less people going to hell? Or do we not need missions anymore? Do we not need churches anymore? You say, yeah, but there's giants out there, COVID. Well, during the bubonic plague, Christians kept being Christians and kept going to church and kept ministering to each other and kept ministering to the lost. Did you not know Christians built the first hospitals? Christians built the first nursing homes. Christians were the greatest scientists that ever lived. And now we're turning our future and our life and our hope and even our faith over to people that we call scientists who don't even believe in God. And they believe in evolution and they believe in abortion. And they believe in homosexuality. They believe in everything contrary to what we believe. And yet we cover, get over there in the corner like the army of Israel, and we hide out because those people intimidate us.
Come on, brother, let's get preaching.
You say, preacher, people won't understand if I live that kind of faith life. They didn't understand him either. You said, preacher, I'll be judged as a fanatic or ignorant of the statistics and the facts.
Amen.
You will. Yeah. We're all misjudged. You know what? They wanted to say, you're just showing off. You're just showing off. That's all you're doing, David. You're just showing off. You need to go home and tend to those sheep, boy. You shouldn't be out here. And when we try to live by faith and stand up to the giants of this world, people criticize us and condemn us and say, oh, you're just showing off. You're just some kind of fanatic. They'll look at me and say, you're just trying to build a church. That's all you're trying to do. You're trying to build a big church. No, we're just trying to obey a big God.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
We're just trying to obey a big God. And of all the people in the times we live in, well, what about the riots and what about BLM and what about Antifa and what about the upcoming elections and what about we ought to stand like we've always stood. We ought to trust God like we always trusted God. This stuff should not affect our lives at all other than you wash your hands and stay away from sick people.
Praise God.
I'm not telling you you're not going to get COVID. I don't know if you will or not, but if you're a believer and you get it, it's God's will.
Yeah.
If He wants to heal you, He will. If He doesn't, you'll be better off.
Amen.
David went out there and he said, I killed a lion. He told King Saul, he said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear with my bare hands.
Yeah.
Why would I worry about this guy? Amen. We've been through greater things than this.
Yes.
We've been through, hey, we faced bigger giants than heathens and communists that called themselves Antifa. We faced bigger giants in our Christian life than some fake Black Lives Matter movement. By the way, if you look at those videos of riots, there's hardly any black people in those riots. It's mostly paid communists that's in those riots. And look, our nation's faced bigger things than this. We saved the world in World War I. God used America to save the world in World War I. God used America to save the world in World War II. And we didn't win Vietnam because we didn't go in to win. And thank God some of them got to get out on account of us going in there though. And we didn't win Korea because we didn't go in to win. But thank God some of them got out. Now you listen to me. We've faced some giants before. People falsely accuse us. People misunderstand us. And of course they will. They're blind.
Amen.
Right.
The Israeli army was sitting on that hill, supposed to be the army of the living God with the king that God had set up over them. And they shook in their boots and they were afraid. And that little boy who'd been out in the wilderness feeding his sheep, just him and God, had been filled with the power and the presence of a holy God. And he walked in there and he said, "Who is this guy?
Yes, sir.
Who is he? Who does he think he is to defy my God?"
Yes. Right.
Now you can make fun of Buddha all you want to. You can make fun of Confucius. You can make fun of those people that worship statues and totem poles. But you better be careful when you defy the living God.
Yes.
His maturity was questioned. Educated, you're just ignorant. That's all that's wrong with you. We have to follow the science. Well, the science says that the earth was created out of a big boom.
Yeah.
And they don't know where the boom come from.
Nobody heard it.
Yeah, nobody heard it. I like that. Stay out of my preaching. I like that. Creature. How does one cell become 300 pounds? I will never know. Science said it wallowed around in some swamp for a while and it grew an eyeball. And then it became a fish and swam around. Then it grew some legs and crawled up in the mud. And then it became a college professor and climbed a tree and swung by its tail. Our motives were questioned. David's motives were questioned. Yours will be too.
Yes.
His methods, the way he did it was questioned. You ever thought about this, Brother Allen? David walked up to the king. King Saul said, "Here's my armor. Here's my helmet. Here's my sword. Here's my spear." And they put them on David, and here's a little old boy with this big old giant helmet down to here. An armor down below his knees and a big old giant spear. And he said, go read the whole story. He said, wait a minute. He said, "I've never tried these. I don't know if they'll work or not. But I know these will work. God's used them before."
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And they question our methods. Well, you think that you get saved by believing on Jesus because he's supposed to be the sinless Savior, the Son of God.
Yeah.
That's too simple. That's what they say. That's too simple. Well, Jesus said, "Except you become as a little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom to start with. You must be born again." And they question that. They question how our methods, how we do things. Try something new, they say. Get you a rainbow shawl and put it around your preacher and call him father or whatever. And you got to get off of that old-fashioned preaching and teaching the Bible. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And he said the foolishness of preaching is what God chooses to save those that believe. But that's too old-timey. You ought not do that. You know, some churches, if it wasn't for movie stars, rock stars, sports stars, they couldn't draw a crowd. I've been in those churches. You won't last for about 3 minutes. You'll be sound asleep. Well, y'all need to get more movie stars. I tell you what, you need to get a magician over there at Cornerstone Baptist Church, and he'll draw a big crowd. Well, the only magic we got here is the Holy Ghost. He works the magic, amen? Look, you can't entertain people into faithfulness. Now, you can entertain people, but if you give them a hot dog this week and they come, you're going to have to give them a hamburger next week. And if you give them a hamburger next week, you're going to have to give them beef stew or something next week. And if you give them that, it pretty soon it's going to be steaks. And most of us don't even get to eat steaks. You can't entertain. You can't entice people to be faithful to God. God does that, puts something in our heart that says, look, that's wrong and we need to stand up. Somebody needs to stand up and be counted for.
Amen.
You know what we'll do? We'll not make church so appealing to the flesh that the ungodly will seek it. You know why I never went to church when I was ungodly and lost? I didn't like it.
Right?
It didn't appeal to me.
That's right.
I was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory the whole time.
Yep.
I didn't like their music. I didn't like them praying out loud. I didn't like that preacher. He was too loud. And he preached too hard. I didn't like it. But if they dumbed it down, I never would have got saved.
Amen.
I expected church to be different than me.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me ask you something about Saul and that armor. Think about this. King Saul had that armor and tried to give it to David, and David tried. But let me ask you something. If Saul's armor was so good, why didn't he use it?
That's right.
If David's brothers were so mighty and so brave and so powerful, why didn't they fight Goliath? It's funny how somebody can always tell you how to do it that's never done it.
Amen.
Brother Allen, you know I sold insurance for 10 years when we first started this church. And you have to ride with your manager sometime to prove to him that you know what you're doing, I guess. And he was riding with me one day and he said, "Ron, I think you're going about this church business all wrong." Insurance man told me that. "I think you're going about this, we was trying to start a church. We had that little building over on John Street. We'd have 45 or 50 people in it. Ron, you're just doing this all wrong." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You need to quit going after those poor people. Your church is full of poor people. You need to go get you some rich people. They'll build you a church." I wanted to say, "Boss man, you don't know nothing about the Bible. Shut up." But I was a Christian. And I called his name. I'm not going to call it now because somebody will be watching know his name. But here's what I told him. I said, "Listen, you know a lot about insurance. You've been at insurance a long time. And you're good at insurance or you wouldn't be where you are today. And if I ever got a question about insurance, I'm going to come to you." I said, "But you don't know nothing about building a church. You ain't never built one. You ain't never started a church. You ain't never led a soul to Christ. You ain't never preached a sermon. You ain't never taught a Sunday school lesson. You leave the church building to me and the Lord, and I'll leave the insurance business to you."
Yes.
It's funny how they all want to put their armor on you and say, "Now, you're not doing this Christian living right. Let me tell you how to do it right." And they don't go to church. They don't pray. What you ought to do is shock them one day and say, "Okay, if you can give me 3 Bible verses on that, I'll do it." They'll shut up. They don't know anything about the Bible. It's funny how people... Boy, I put something on Facebook. All I did was put a picture of some kids picking cotton back in the 30s. All I did.
Yes.
Woo! You wouldn't believe what happened. I was a racist. I was a bigot. I was trying to prove that white people was just good as black people. Didn't have nothing to do with black people. It was about growing up poor in the South. And what they did, they showed their ignorance because they wasn't from the South. I wanted to say everybody had something to do with the cotton business in South Carolina before 1980.
Yes.
You either worked in, you picked the cotton, you processed the cotton, you spun the cotton, you dyed the cotton, you washed the cotton, you distributed the cotton. Everybody had something to, and if you didn't, you was running a store where the cotton mill people could come get stuff. Or you're selling them life insurance. Because they weren't going to live long working there anyway. It's strange. King Saul sitting there on his throne. He hasn't done a stinking thing. Every day this giant walks out and defies
and he says, send your man and I'll whoop him and we'll just serve you. But if he whoops me, if he whoops me, we'll serve you and vice versa. And he sits there every day, and Saul listens to that every day, and he doesn't do a thing, and he goes through the motions. He says, all right, army, this is, boy, here it is, another day. You all go out there and line up like you want to fight. And so they all go out there, and they line up like they want to fight. And out walks Goliath. And he says, I don't want all you. I just want one man. Send your best. Who do you think should have gotten up since he was made king because they claimed he was the best? He was head and shoulders above them all, the Bible says. Seems like Saul would have walked out there, don't he?
Yeah.
But no, sir. Hey, you know what that tells me? There's a lot of people tell you how, they ain't going to do it.
That's right. Come on,
huh? Well, preacher, I think you ought to do this. And Brother Ron, I think at your house you ought to do this. And Sister Judy, I think down there at your house, that funeral the other day, you should have done this, should have done that. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people tell you how, they ain't going to do nothing.
That's right.
They ain't going to do nothing.
So David didn't listen to them. If Saul's armor is so good, why didn't he use it? By the way, these new modern churches, if they're so great, why don't they do what they claim they're doing? They ain't doing nothing. Well, I remember growing up, every once in a while you hear about somebody got religion. They're going to church. That meant they got saved. You remember that, Brother Allen? Somebody come by and say, you hear about O'Allen? Allen? He got religion. They didn't know how to say it right. He got saved. He got born again. You don't hear that hardly ever anymore. And we got more churches now than we ever had, so called.
Yeah.
And they look over here at this little church and they say, look at those poor, ignorant people. That poor, ignorant pastor. And boy, what a pitiful mess. They ought to do this and they ought to do that. And they just do something else. Well, what are they doing? Nothing. I got to quit. David didn't just see the cause. He went toward the cause. He ran toward it. Most Christians are running from it now. And he didn't just run toward it, but he advanced the cause. His performance was for God. Did you know he didn't care what the Israeli army thought about him on that bank? And he didn't care what the Philistine army thought about him on that bank? He didn't care what they said about him. He ran toward the cause, and the cause was to kill that God-denying Philistine giant.
Amen.
Yeah. It's for the glory of God, not show.
Amen.
He wasn't putting on a show. Ain't it funny how people change everything on Sunday? They live like hell all week, act like hell, dress like hell, talk like hell. And then they got the prettiest suit and the pretty, well not anymore, they don't even do that. But, and boy, they just put on a whole new person. And they go to church and boy, they go over there to church and they'll sit down and they'll say, now bless me, preacher. David wasn't like that. Did you know his power was from God? You know what he said? He said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Now don't think because you're saved you ain't going to have no battles. Don't think that because you're saved you're not going to have heartbreak and heartache. Don't think that. Somebody lied to you if they told you that. There's going to be a lot of battles. The children of Israel, the most favored nation in the world, they're continually in battles.
Amen.
His power came from God. Look at it in verse 47 and I'll quit. And all this assembly, both those crowds, shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. this COVID thing. I'm not counting on scientists or doctors to fix that. I'm counting on God.
Amen.
I'll wash my hands. I'll stay clean. These riots and all this stuff, I'm not counting on politicians to fix that. I'm counting on God to fix that.
Amen.
Our deteriorating churches, I'm not counting on some new program to fix that. We're counting on God to fix
Amen.
That. Whatever personally in your life is attacking you, whether it be a person or a thing or a sickness or a problem, you'll look to God and say, look, I can't fight you, but I know the one that can.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Is there not a cause to still be faithful to the one and only Most High God? Is there not a cause to still be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you and keeps you? Is there not a cause to be faithful to the local church that He gave you? He died for the church, He said.
Yeah.
Is there not a cause to raise your children right so they'll grow up right and get saved when it's the right time, and your grandchildren and your children, and they won't die and go to hell? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to try to keep living for God so your husband can see it and he'll be saved by the grace of God? Is there not a cause to keep on living right so your wife will see it and they'll get saved by the grace of God? Is there not a cause to save America, the greatest gospel-sending country that's ever existed? There is a cause. Now, in your life right now, you're fighting some giants. One of them may be unbelief. If you're not saved, that's your first giant you have to go after. You need to ask God to give you faith to believe. The other giant is a believer. We may have doubt. That's a giant in the believer's life. We need to ask God for faith. And another giant is weakness. We need to ask God for Holy Ghost power, that we be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can have the power to stand against these giants.
Yes.
Yes.
We need to go back to singing that old song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. We need to go back to that. Now today, if you're not saved, your giant is Satan and he's deceiving you, and you need to let Jesus fix that.
Amen.
He'll fight that for you. If it's doubt or fear, you need to ask God to give you faith. Amen.
Yes.
If it's an addiction or something like that, you might be watching, you're addicted to drugs,
Amen.
You need to ask God to give you deliverance. Only God
Amen.
Can do that. All the problems in the world can't do that. God's got to do that.
Yeah. All right. Yes.
Amen. Let's stand. Whatever your giant is today, run.